Blog Talk Radio.
Warning, warning.
Attention all cupcakes, lollipops, and landlubbers. This is your captain speaking. The battle for truth and justice is before us. Batten down the hatches and prepare to blast off into Deep Space Nine.
Warning, warning.
We talk about things that really matter to Americans, and that is sports. Now, I know we got Seth on board, and I'm going to bring him on here real quick, but I want to focus tonight. We're going to talk about a lot of things. Me and Seth, we love our Ty Cobb, and we're probably going to get into that, and that is fine. You want to be a part of the program tonight, 646-716-7978, to number one. Otherwise, I was going to listen, and listen, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with listening. But I want to talk tonight. I want to focus first off. I am so tired of these crybabies, these babies. They're babies. Oh, you swung at a 3-0 pitch, and you're already up by 7. This is baseball. Okay, if you've never watched baseball, then maybe you might understand what their crybabies are crying about. But if you have watched baseball, you know. You have seen it time after time after time where teams have come back, not only in the eighth and ninth innings, but sometimes just in the ninth inning with two outs. They're down by 8 and come back and they win. A big deficit because there's no time limit in baseball. There's no time limit. So what if you're up by 100 and you hit a grand slam? So the other team, if you could score 100, they could score 101. There's nothing stopping you. There's nothing stopping a team from coming back and winning. There's no time. There's no time limit. If you didn't want the guy to swing on a 3-0 pitch, maybe you shouldn't have thrown him anything to swing on a 3-0 pitch. But that's just me. You don't want somebody to swing at a 3-0 pitch, don't throw him anything to swing at. Stop whining, stop your crying. Oh, that's not baseball, that's not being a gentleman. Bop, 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 bop. I don't want to hear that. Shut up. Shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up. I can't tell you how many times I've seen games, and everybody says, oh, the game is over. Game is over. The ninth inning, they come back, they score 12 runs, boom, they win. Whoa, wait a minute, what? There is no big enough deficit in baseball. And if you don't understand that, I mean, look, I'm not a professional baseball player, but, I mean, come on. You don't need to be. You don't need to be a professional baseball. If you've ever played Little League, for God's sakes, you know that the other team can come back. Stop your whining. And even you don't. guys scoring more scores? Stop them! I mean, that's what you have a defense for, is it not? You don't want the other team scoring any more touchdowns? Stop them from scoring touchdowns, and they won't score touchdowns. God almighty, in sweet blue heaven, I am tired of this crybaby attitude in this world. Oh, and they were already ahead, and then they went further ahead, and now I'm offended, and I'm emotionally scarred for life. Shut up! Crazy! All right, I need to calm down here, because this stuff just irritates the living out of me. Maybe you can calm me down a little bit. Seth, my good friend, welcome aboard and happy Friday. Seth, is that
you? Are you talking? Yeah, it's just the phone keeps breaking in and out a lot again.
Well, I don't know what to do about that. I can't fix that.
Oh, no, but I got a lot of it. And the thing is I can honestly tell you one of the greatest things about staying up late as a kid, pretending that you were asleep, still listening to the game on the radio, even though your parents didn't know you had a radio. And then you're like, your parents are like, there's no reason to even watch this game. I mean, they were.
It's over.
Yeah. So when they turned it off, it is nighttime for everybody. You're like, I understand. You know, and then you go up there and you're like, I got this radio that you have no idea about. And it's so low that I can play it just for me to hear it. And then I'm still listening to the game. Every pitch, you know, just vocally. And then, like you're saying, even in this, you're down by 8 runs with 2 outs in the 9th.
Yeah.
Everybody and their brother and sister has counted you out. And they should, by the mathematical percentage.
By the percentage.
You are going to lose this game. You are going to lose this game. But when you listen that one time where it happened, the way it even happened, a stupid something, like the guy hit the batter. He gets the first base.
Takes it for one mistake, and then more mistakes happen after that. One mistake.
You throw a strikeout to this guy. He swings, but the catcher doesn't catch it. It goes out. Both guys advance. They might even
right.
get the second and third, depending on how the catcher gets to it.
No, yeah, you're right.
And then you don't know. They might have been the 8th, 9th. Now, all of a sudden, you got your first batter up there. It's usually a fast guy, you know. And then, boom, he's on there, blah, blah, blah. Then you got your 3, 4 hitters coming up, and 5.
Boom, boom, boom.
Your power, your guys that are going to, like, make things happen. I mean, I'm just telling you how it kind of happens, and you can't believe it. And internally, you're screaming because you know if your parents hear you go 8 beat deep, they're going to be like, why is he even up, you know? And then they're going to find your radio. Not good, you know? But beautiful moments and one of those seasons for me as a Tigers fan when I was a kid. When they went 35-5 in 1984, and my dad had been a Tigers fan his whole life, and so he was very skeptical.
Well,
that
was with Sparky, and that's when they won the World Series.
And he saw them win in 68, you know, so he knew, you know, and they'd won before that, but 68 was the last time. So you get a little skeptical, so he was skeptical. And I was like, Dad, I've been, you know, with the Tigers the whole time, too. And I'm just telling you, this season's a little different. I just literally heard them come back from something that you do that. Teams don't want to play you. I wouldn't want to play you.
Well, Well, look, I mean, you never know in baseball. If you can't predict baseball, that's number one. You can come close, you can guess, but you can't predict because you never know. That ball can careem off of the bag. It could go, you know, it could just hit a Baltimore chop. That ball can do whatever it wants to do, whenever it wants to do it. That ball can go into the craziest places. The ball can do crazy, crazy things, and you never know. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, like you're at the bottom of the ninth inning. Here it is, two outs, and you got a guy. Let's say you got a guy on first. He finally got a hit. Well, all it takes is for one mistake. Now you got two guys on base. Well, now you got another guy. Okay, now he swings and boom, you got first and third. Okay, then now, like you said, now you got your leadoff batter. Well, let's say he gets a walk. So now you got the bases loaded. Then you get the second guy up. Now he might hit a single, he might hit a double. Okay, now you got another run in. Then you get the three and four batters up, and one of them is going to hit a home run. Okay, boom. Now you got a ball game. This is bottom of the ninth. You got two outs. Who's to say just because you're up 7, 8 runs, 10 runs, 12 runs, 100 runs? Who's to say that the other team cannot come back and win the game? There's no too big of a deficit in baseball. So if you're going to cry that this guy swung at a 3-0 pitch, well, maybe you shouldn't have thrown something that he could swing at. I mean, if you wanted to walk the guy, I mean, you could have walked him. I mean, you are, you know, throw it in the.
Oh, this is why when they want to change certain rules in baseball and they want to make it an automatic walk, like, oh, no, let's speed up the game.
I hate that. Oh, my God,
you
hate
just
that.
Call the automatic walk.
It doesn't.
Because we're just going to do it. And I'm like, no, I want to see you throw it. Because you know what? Somebody might throw it like Dr. Fossey on that one day, and you don't know where ball's going to go. And
no,
now
that takes an element out of the ball game. Absolutely, Seth. Absolutely. It takes an element. Some guy throws an errant pitch, and what happens? The whole game changes.
One play, and I know it is more seriously. And I remember baseball back to maybe some people, but I know historical baseball, so I'm a little different. But I am gonna say is I remember the years that the pitcher actually or the catcher could actually get up, kind of walk away from the base. Right or left, depending on the way, and then just to take the pitch out, you know, so it's really almost like, hey, there's no question we're walking you, but still to that chance, you got to catch it, you know, you don't know, that guy doesn't catch it, and like what you said, a baseball can go any way, any angle, you already got a guy on base and you're trying that intentional walk. But in certain circumstances, you know, I mean, you just have to see what happens.
Well, you've also seen this before. It is extremely rare. This does not happen. One in a bazillion chance. But so you got, you know, it's a full count, and the guy just says, you know what, screw it. I'm not going to throw to this guy because this guy's a swinger. I'm going to walk him. So the catcher acts like he's going to walk the guy. And what does the pitcher do? Throws one, you know, boom, right down the gut. And you strike him out. That doesn't happen that often, but you
That happened once. It was a Pirates catcher or a Reds catcher back in the day, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
They did that exact play.
Yeah.
3-2. They made it look like he was going to go outside for at the last second.
Yep.
The catcher came in because he knew the guy wasn't going to even have to throw it that hard. But he was going to throw a strike, and it was going to be right down the middle because that guy was looking for a bunt. By the time he was going to react to it, it would not have been – the only way he could even maybe got a hold of it – is actually bunted straight down. And I can't remember on a 3-2 count, if you bounce it straight down on the plate, if you're automatically out. I can't remember if that's a rule.
Well, I don't remember if that's a rule either, but I think if you bounce it off the plate and it goes, if the ball stays in play, it's a hit. Or the ball is in play. If it stays in bounds, it's still in play. But
I think
there is a rule.
Maybe that is the differential in the rule where if it goes out of bounds, then you are.
Right. Well, no.
I can't remember. I mean, I remember there is something to deal. But this is such a rare baseball question. If anybody knows the answer without me Googling it, could you please call it in?
I know, but if you bunt on a third strike and it goes foul.
Right, that's what it is. Then you're done.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
You're done.
Right. Yeah, you can't bunt on a third, but that would be the only way you'd be able to even make contact at the last second, given your stance of what you're doing.
Well, very few guys are going to bunt when they get two strikes on them. You know, very tough to even round up to bunt. They're not going to bunt because if it goes foul, they're out. So.
I think we just answered our own question.
Pete Rose used to do it. Pete Rose didn't care about, Pete Rose played his own game, and he played hard. He played tough. Ty Cobb did the same thing. But we don't have those guys anymore. Now everybody, let's play the good Samaritan, the gentleman. No. There's no gentleman in baseball. I know they call the game a gentleman's game. It's not a gentleman's game. When he faked that spike, and what did he do? Well, he won the game. So you can't take out the element of fakery in sports. I mean, football loves to fake. Love to fake a punt. Love to fake a this. Love to fake a that. Baseball loves to fake. That's part of the game. You can't take that away. Oh, but we got to speed the game up. Why? Do you have something more important to do? You have somewhere. You know, if you've got somewhere more important to be, what the hell are you doing at the ballpark? Why are you even tuning in?
Because I understand people with their cell phones, they can take pictures and, record videos. When you go to a ballpark, that's really cool. I just think they should have restrictions that if you're sitting in a seat, you really shouldn't be doing that. You should be watching the game because I've seen people hit that were absorbed in this technology world that didn't realize there's a different real world around them. And this is baseball coming out at fans. I mean, most people are trying to catch it that are real fans. You don't see it coming. That's not a good moment,
Well, hey, look, if you're sitting in the front row and you're talking on your cell phone and the ball hits you right between the eyes, you get no sympathy from me. I don't want to hear it. Pay attention to the game. Give up your seat for someone who will respect that seat. What are you doing on your cell phone? Who are you going to call? Why are you talking to anyone? You're at the ballpark. You're watching the game. You should be choking on your hot dog, drinking beer. Keeping your scorecard, that's what you should be doing in the front row. You should be talking on no damn phone. Who are you talking to?
What's more important than being front row at a baseball game? I'm just trying to figure it out.
Not many things are more important. If you get me front
maybe
row.
Maybe Hugh Hefner at the Playboy Mansion, okay? Hugh Hefner at the Playboy Mansion. But other than that, no.
There's really not too many things that you give me front row, my phone. You want me talking? I'm not talking on no damn phone. But, baseball is changing too much. And I'm tired of change. I don't mind changes if they need to be changed. But I don't like changes just to change. And baseball's changing for no reason. But, and I hate the DH. I don't. If you can't, you know, just because you're a pitcher means you can't hit? I mean, I'm sorry, what?
Oh, no, no, no.
Well,
and once again, you know, I probably label myself as a purist, and
I am too. Absolutely.
I would have totally disagreed with the DH vote, but it does add a different element to the two leagues, and I think it makes it cool, different strategies. I think it actually makes it better baseball. I think if you had the DH in both or no DH at all, it's a little bit more boring, per se, because only these different elements in the World Series are going to be implemented. They're not implemented in other places.
They've already done
it
that with the
one
next
game.
League.
Let's see the best system this, and let's see the best system that. And
well, I don't like interleague play, and
cool
I'll tell you why.
Me.
Is because when you have interleague play, the whole purpose of the World Series. Best. Because you've got the National League and the American League, and they've never seen each other. So you don't want to play a team that you've already seen and you already know. That's not a true contest. That defeats the whole purpose of
the interleague play. Yeah, I never agreed with the interleague play. That didn't make any sense to me.
No,
I didn't like. Now, I knew that they did it because you're going to see certain cities that are so close to each other that they can play each other or blah, blah. Or you can get more than New York against New York. I mean, they did everything commercial. Like, it was really sad. I didn't want to see it. But, yeah, now you know your opponents a lot better. You know, you definitely get to know them. So, if you see them in the finals at the World Series, it's not the guessing game like it used to be.
No, it takes that whole – that whole element of not knowing who this team is, and it takes away the true contest, you know. And then they claim, oh, well, we get more people, you know, for interleague play. No. I mean, especially in New York. Okay, people in New York are going to go to the game because it's New York, whether it's the Mets or the Yankees. You're not going to fill more seats. That's a load of crap. And then when the Expos were in the league, the Yankees would come to town. Yeah, more people would come to see the Yankees. They didn't come to see the Expos. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't like you can't walk a batter. I don't like interleague play. I don't like the DH. Now they got it in the National League for their short season, and they're going to keep it. There's going to have, you know, the DH throughout. And I don't know. They've got baseball so watered down. And it's, I don't know. They've just taken all the sport out of the sport.
Well, I can at least say that I honestly have played competitive sports to a certain level that I know I have played against professional athletes. And once you get into like a certain mode as an athlete, and then they tell you, like, hey, there's all these restrictions. And then they're going to be like, hey, there's this issue. And that whole 4-game series is canceled. It just canceled. So when you're at a certain competitive level, you do whatever you can daily to maintain your body and your whatever. Your physique and just that type of training within like, how fast you are at certain or reactions or whatever. But that's its own thing, man. That is so intensive. People don't really give that aspect. There's a reason why any of these people that are paid professional athletes and some people are making 20, 30 million a year, you don't realize how in tune and dedicated they are to these things. And now you add in all this different stuff, and man, if I was a modern day athlete, I wouldn't even know what to do. I'd be so freaked out. And a lot of times, you're taught to be like a competitor, like run over people almost. And then like their body fluid or something. You play basketball, dude. That sweat of that other guy is going to be on you. There's nothing you can do about it. You know, I mean, people want to talk about it in basketball or whatever, but it's going to be, and some people sweat bad and they sweat early. So it's the whole game. They're just a waterfall. And you're like, you almost avoid them just for that very reason. Maybe that's a defense. I don't know.
Well,
could be.
Well, look at football. I mean, those balls in the stands. And in the 70s, I think it was it the Eagles? It was some team that or it could have been the Browns. I can't remember. But their whole thing was to make sure they didn't bathe all week before the game to make sure that they stunk as worse on the front line. To make sure that they would stink as bad as they could.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine how bad a professional athlete could smell after 7 days of hard practice without showering?
Right.
One, it's got to be atrocious. I mean, just
but the
absolutely
quarterback,
atrocious.
But the quarterback has got to stick hands underneath the center's butt, you know, to get the ball. He's got to be like, good Lord, you know, come on, man. But, I mean, hey, look, football, you don't see that stuff anymore. And that's a shame. You know, I don't know. Sports has gotten
so
windy.
Oh, no, it's just that we really grew up in still a great – we probably grew up in the greatest era of football, if you really think about it.
Yeah, I think so.
The AFC and the NFC was the AFL and the NFL, or, you know, so these guys were going to combine these leagues to then create the NFL or whatever, and then all this other sort of stuff. So there was all these things. But when we were kids, I mean, we were used to seeing ambulances getting called during games, you know? I mean, not called. I mean, we were right there just – literally, it was out there, and it went to some type of commercial break, and, you know, it was taken care of. Might take a while. But,
no, I mean,
like, that
guy,
was football. That was football.
But the thing about it is they played harder and tougher. They weren't near as fast and near as strong as they are today. You know what I mean? It seems kind of weird, but they weren't near as strong, near as big, and near as fast, but they played tougher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they hit. But, you know.
But then you look at, like, Ronnie Lott later in life, you know, even still, like, saying, like, amputate part of his pinky.
Yeah, take my friggin' finger off so I can play. You're not going to see that today. Oh, body in traction. I mean, it's different, but. And now these babies are crying because, oh, I'm not playing because of the flu, the Hong Kong flu-y. Oh, shut up. Shut up. You can go to the supermarket, you can go to, you know, Home Depot, you can go all these places, but you can't play football? I don't want to hear it. I mean, I just don't want to hear it. So, but, you know, it is what it is, what it is, what it is. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to make of what we're kind of a football season we're going to have this year, if we even going to have one. I mean, college football, here's what I'd like to know. And I talked to my little brother, and he had no answers. But, I mean, if they're going to be canceling all of a college, what's going to happen with draft? I mean, these seniors, they're not playing. Are they going to be eligible for the draft? Are they going to have to be redshirted and come back the next year? I mean, you see what I'm saying? What's going to happen with the draft?
Yeah. No. They're just going to have to go in the regular draft, and you're just going to have to hope that they kept training and did stuff on their own. And you just probably have to see some workout videos via Zoom or just a regular video and just sent.
So they're going to have to rely on, you know, the previous year as whether they want to draft them or not. Well, you know, in college football, anything can happen in a year. I mean, guys can turn from bad to good and from good to bad.
Well, actually, though, Kenny, if you really talk about a lot of different stuff, when it comes to money, you have to have fans in the stadiums for sports teams to really make money. So,
yeah,
if
college makes
keep trying to do this for too long, there will be no more sports. No one will be able to afford to play games so no one can watch it live. That's how they make their real money.
Oh, I mean, college is, I mean, most college stadiums are bigger than professional stadiums. And college is, that is a huge business. I mean, and there's, you know, there's a lot more college teams than there are, you know, pro teams. College football is big, especially in Texas. I mean, every state has, you know, their favorite, you know, football team. And college football is big. I mean, it's big. And college football, very rarely do you see a college stadium that is not sold out. Well, the last few years in the NFL, there's been a lot of teams that haven't sold out because, well, we're not going to get into that because we all know the reason for that crap. But you don't have that in college, and that's why you still see, well, you're not going to see it now, but, I mean, before this year, college stadiums were, I mean, they're jam-packed. There's a waiting list to get in. And it's damn near every college.
Ironically, in the state of Ohio right now, as far as I know, you can go in college to the university, but the college teams can't have the sports. But in high school, the kids don't have to go to high school, but the high school can have the sports. So,
that's another thing that I was going to get into. What are you going to do about high school football? Because high school football leads you to college football. And if you're not going to have high school football, how are these kids going to go to college? I mean, they already lost last year. Well, no, they played last year because it didn't come until this pandemic didn't come until, what, March or whatever. But so
well,
the season
where
was
I
all
live, though, the privileged governor said that she knew about this stuff last December. But that's cool.
She knows more. There's nobody that knows more than her. I mean, come on now, Seth.
Oh, no, but this is where I love where, as far as I know, truth has never changed ever in history. The truth is always the truth. So,
it all
in today's
on
world, still the truth. Always
no,
the
I know,
truth.
But I mean, it all depends on who's telling it. You know, people hear. I mean, it may be true, or it may not be true. But if somebody in the right position says it, well, then it's true. Oh, it's got to be true. You know, the television said it. And the television doesn't lie. You know, I mean, come on. But, no, but I'm worried about these young athletes, I mean, these high school kids and these college kids, and not just football, but I mean, you've got baseball, you've got basketball, you've got all of these sports, especially, you know, in high school. These are the years, you know, especially your senior year in high school. This is where you're really starting to develop, where you can move on to the next level. Now, there's a big difference between high school and college sports. And there's another huge difference between college sports and professional sports. So, but if you miss that 1 year, okay, then when you, if you do make it into college, college sports, okay, you've lost a year. You've lost a lot, not more than just a year. I mean, you've lost a lot. I mean, that's a lot that you're going to lose. And, you know, it, it might be a while before, you know, a few years.
Kids. Oh, no. And just case in point, you know, like when I was a kid, I started dribbling a basketball at 4 years old. I couldn't reach the rim. I just kept dribbling it, even during the winter, just like Pistol Pete. And I read the Pistol Pete story. I was like, that's how you get to be a good basketball player. So as you get later in the years and you just keep dribbling a basketball every single day, man, you know, I mean, you can definitely see it, but that 1 year when you're going from senior year high school to now freshman year college and you didn't play at all, oh boy, man, you better have a routine thing that you're gonna be playing people on the side that everybody knows not to hurt you, you know, but play competitive.
No, and it's I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't. And I mean, are we? I mean, we still don't even know. I mean, there's a lot of colleges. You know, the Big Ten, they're canceling. So if the Big Ten cancels, what about the rest of the conferences? Are they going to play? And if they play and the Big Ten cancels, let's just say you're in the Big Ten and they cancel and all the other conferences are playing, you've got to be like, what, are you kidding me? You're depriving me my opportunity? These players have got to be livid. And now what do they do? You can't really transfer. It's too late to transfer now to go to another school. You can't just I mean, it is, but it isn't. You can't do it now. So these kids are going to be deprived of, you know, I mean, I just find that that's theft. I mean, I really feel bad for these guys. Because there's a lot of them that don't want to make it.
All the other
pros.
Pro teams that want to draft them or whatever, like, they really don't know what to do with you either. Or, you know, whether you're going from the college to the pro or the high school to the college, it's the same thing.
Right.
Who knows what to do with anybody? And they thought they were always betting on speculation before. Now this is true speculation. I have no idea what that kid could do. You know, sounds good.
But I mean,
right speed.
Really feel bad, man. I mean, there's going to be a lot of kids that are hurt. It could be a lot of, you know, the kids that have missed their opportunity to go to the pros. It could be the next superstar, but we'll never know. You know, I mean, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what to make of it.
Yeah, you really don't know how much of an economic impact this is like, hey, son, you're the biggest offensive lineman, whatever. Like, you'll probably make, like, you know, $1.5 million to $10 million once you get in there and you're good. And then all of a sudden, he doesn't really get exposure or anything his last year, and nobody knows about him. And on top of it, he's really not getting the workouts that he needs. You know what I mean? That's a big individual. They got to have certain regimens.
Well, you know, even in baseball, Okay, baseball right now, there are just a ton of injuries. And why do you think? Because they haven't had a real spring training. And they're getting hurt. And football, you know, these preseason games, they keep saying, oh, we got to take more preseason games out. You know, so their starters, they don't play in the preseason games. So they may play, a quarter here and maybe another couple of quarters in, you know, the fourth game. But then when the season starts, you start seeing hamstrings popping. You start seeing all these other injuries.
Oh,
because
yeah, no,
they
I just
been trained possible.
Yeah,
and preseason games are important.
I just saw today, even in training, a total of 10 people that went down.
Yeah.
And
these preseason games are important.
And the one person that went down in just training camp with an injury from Dallas, he got cut. He got cut. That was, you know, I mean, that's where I think people don't realize that sports is a business. It truly is. And if there's a guy that you're even asking back to training camp, sometimes it's only because that position is so lackluster in your depth that this guy is not the greatest thing since sliced bread, but he's all we got. Then he's got an injury that's probably not going to be fully healed for at least a full year. Well, business-wise, sayonara, you know?
I don't know, but I'm, this nonsense that the NFL wants to get rid of two preseason games. Well, you know, those preseason games, again, they are important. These guys are getting, look, it's a full contact. I mean, you are rushing, you are going full speed. These guys are faster and stronger than ever before. And then you don't have any real contact with other teams. And then all of a sudden week one comes and you start getting into real contact and real play. And you wonder why you get hurt? Hey, I wonder why. You know,
and
I blame the owners for all these problems.
Oh, no, but one of the things that you're mentioning is the speed of the game. And I know when you jump up to these other progressions, you're like, oh, how fast could it really be? But when it keeps increasing almost another whole second, and you're like, what could a second really be a variable? And then you're like, oh, my God, my world just got rocked. You know, I couldn't even react to what was happening. Like, it's happening whether I like it or not. I can't react to that speed.
A half a second in sports. I mean, look, you've got to decide whether you're going to swing at a baseball. You've got less than a half a second. What are you going to do? Well, in football, a half a second, that's almost a lifetime. I mean, those guys are so fast. I mean, you've got a quarter of a second to decide, you know, do I juke? What do I do? You know? And
well,
sometimes
I really,
you don't have the time.
Yeah, I really found it ironic when I was watching a little ESPN today. And they were talking about Tom Brady and how he's always been fast for his release. And how he's one of the best of all time, if not the GOAT. And I'm like, you do realize if you've ever played quarterback or whatever, the longer you hold on to it, the more times people are going to hit you. I mean, so a fast release is probably one of the best quarterbacks in all time. I'm thinking that's a strategy.
Well,
you know?
Well, not only is it a strategy, but you've also got to realize – that if it wasn't for his front line, guys have to hold on to the ball because, you know, they don't have a front line. They don't have the receivers getting into the position that they need to get into so he can throw the ball. So, you know, when, you know, a quarterback is only as good as the rest of the team that he's playing with. Seriously, I mean, if you took, say, Joe Montana or any of these guys and put them on a crap team, they're not going to make the team that much better. I mean, you take Tom Brady and you put him on the worst team in the NFL, he's not going to make that team any better. You know what I mean? Team behind him to make him that good. And look, well, I mean, look at the Patriots. I mean, you know, say whatever you want to about Belichick, but he did not tolerate you making a mistake. You made a mistake on the front line. Guess what happened? Your NFL career is over. You got kicked off the Patriots. You never got drafted on any other team. No other team would pick you. If the Patriots got rid of you, that was it. You're done. You know what I mean?
Well,
that's how it was.
Well, if they kicked you off the team, you were done.
Right, kicked you off. Not traded you, but kicked you off. If they won a Super Bowl,
and then all of a sudden someone's going to pay $2 million for that cornerback, and you're like, bro, I got a system, I need another guy in here for $800. Good. Bye. Hey, good luck to you, guy.
That's different, but if you did a good job. If Belichick said you're released, you're done, that was it. Your career was over. No one's going to pick you. No other team is going to pick you up. And
you want to talk about the curse of the Detroit Lions? I don't think anyone has ever been a head coach that ever became a head coach at any other team. Like, you might have been a head coach before you came there, but you didn't leave as another head coach on any other NFL. So if you come there, that is worse than the elephant graveyard.
Well, that is true. Look at all the coaches that have come and gone, and if you go, you know, from Detroit, except for the golf course, perhaps. You know, but I mean, that's just how it is. But I mean, in today's sports, though, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what this league is going to look like this year. If we're even going to have a league, we're going to have any kind of football whatsoever. And if we do, we've got most of the Patriots are already saying they're not playing. So, I mean, well, I think that if you say, okay, I'm not playing, okay, well, not only do you not get paid, but come next year, well, we need to decide whether screw your contract. You just broke your contract when you didn't show up. Don't give me this disease or virus or Hong Kong flu, whatever the hell. I don't want to hear it. I mean, if these kids can go and these people can go to the supermarket and Lowe's and Home Depot every single day and go to work, you can go to work too. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to hear it.
Oh, no. I mean, I totally agree with that statement, but yet I also understand from their health perspective, if they really, you know, think that this is going to end their life.
Yeah, but if you get it. I mean,
and then all of a sudden you're like, it is a sport game, dude. You know,
but
I'll go back to school and get my 4-year and I'll be a mechanical engineer, you know?
But, I mean, the only people that are really dying from it are the really old and really sick. But everybody else, I mean, you got a 99.8% chance of surviving. And these athletes are healthier than anybody. I mean, Tom Brady, the food that he eats isn't even food. I mean, I would hate to go to Tom Brady's house for dinner. I mean, you know, kale sandwiches and, I mean, carrot juice and God only knows what
Don't
he drinks.
Don't forget about
your
quinoa. You got to have quinoa.
You know, and he doesn't drink or smoke or any of that crap. I was like, dude, man, I need a Big Mac. You know, let's eat. You know, I want some form of dead animal. You know, I want to eat something. You know, but I mean, Tom Brady is as healthy as you can't get any healthier. And that's really, I think, is why he has lasted. I mean, he's what, 42? He's 43?
Dude, I really think he has way more years. And the thing is to be honest, that guy, since he married Gisele Bündchen, he hasn't had to work. This is the one time that the guy doesn't have to work. But, you know, now, yeah, he's making $20 million plus a year, whatever, which is good. But she's making more than that anyways. So they go down to Florida, and it's going to be a nice transition to his retirement. But I'll bet you he might play another 5 years.
Well, I don't know if he can go another five, but, you know, he might go at least another one. Well, we're going to find out.
Let's see how he does with Tampa Bay.
Okay, we'll find out. Now, if things are working out really good in Tampa Bay, he makes it to the playoffs and, you know, they lose a heartbreaker of a game. You know, it wasn't his fault. He didn't do anything. It was just one of those, you know, the way the ball bounces. Football bounces like the baseball bounces. You never know. Well, then he might want to come back. But, I mean, if he has a dismal season and, you know, they're,
yeah, but
you
people
know,
don't realize, though, that Jameis Winston
he ain't coming
actually,
back. He ain't coming
no, but
back.
Jameis Winston with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year led the NFL in passing yards per game, and he's tied for third in scoring. So that's already a really highly designed passing offense. Almost intact. The only reason it's not totally intact is Tom Brady brought in Gronk. Gronk's there.
Well, you know, you've also got with Gronk, you've got to realize, I mean, this guy, and I hate to say it because I love my Gronk, a prone individual. Now, if he stays healthy all season long, yeah, they're going to do good. But if he goes out week one, week two, which he has an unfortunate tendency to do, which irritates me because how could you not love watching Gronk play? I mean,
Well, no. See, here's the big thing that a lot of times people don't realize in sports is Gronk's the biggest, baddest, whatever tight end you've ever seen.
Pretty much.
Well.
Pretty much.
He's going to take tackles like everybody. He's going to take whatever. But I guarantee you, anytime anybody in their life can get a cheap shot on Gronk, they get it. They do. It's just football.
Well,
it's just
yeah.
human nature. I do it too as a sportsman. And then that's how they beat you down. But then if he comes back and he's healthy and strong again.
Look out.
And he can take some of your hits or whatever. Then you like if it's just Tom Brady and Gronk and they're both healthy the whole year. You can already say that they're going to go to the playoffs, and I don't know if they're going to win the AFC South because of New Orleans, but they'd be right there.
You know, I see New Orleans. Tops, I see New Orleans 9-7. I do not see New Orleans. Now, if they go 10-6.
I don't know. They're like a huge odds favorite. And they got Alvin Kamara coming back and all that.
I know. But I just, I don't know. I got a feeling. I don't know. Maybe it's whatever kind of a hunch.
No, it's a passing of the guard. It's Their team is done. They should have did it by now. They're only fighting 9-7. I think is probably accurate. I think Tampa Bay is going to be like, I don't say 12-4. I'm going to say like 11-5.
Like 11.
I think they'll be 11-5.
Yeah, they'll be right around there. They're going to be very competitive. But I just see Drew Brees. I hate to say it. I'm not trying to put any whammies on the guy. But I see Drew Brees having a very, very difficult season this year. And same with a very difficult season. I mean, I'm not saying just because they're old, but I mean, you know, well, kind of. And I'm not saying anything about Drew Brees. I mean, how could you not love a Drew Brees? Everybody loves Drew Brees. But, you know, they haven't really – I know they got a good team and they were good last year, but they just – they're missing some stuff, you know, and I think it's time to rebuild. Now,
well,
I don't know.
No, if you talk to a Super Bowl and then you took an offense that already had – number one in NFL in one category, offensive, and number three tied. And then you add in Tom Brady over Winston. Wow.
No, I
it's
mean,
it's got to work out. And now you add in Gronk. Gronk's like, I'm in. Gronk's like, I'll come back.
No, Tampa is.
Tampa
is going to be a strong team. There's no doubt. Tampa's going to be a team to reckon with, and they haven't been for many years. But you know, they were close last year. But I think Winston just couldn't get them over that hump. And I think Brady, being even as he's old as he is, I think he's going to be able to be the guy that can do it. You know, maybe 1-2 years, and they're looking for it. They're Tampa Bay. Looking to win the Super Bowl now. They're not looking for the future. They'll deal with the future later. They're looking to win it now. And sometimes that's what you need in football. That's what you need in sports. You got to look.
We can talk about Mike McCarthy right now coming into Dallas. He's
right.
Got all the pieces still pretty much in place. Everybody says this and that, and they always say Dallas this and that. And he did say, like, if you're not playing to win the Super Bowl, then you're really not playing. So that is a whole different level of competition, whether you can do that and create that. Dez Prescott, Amari Cooper, I mean, they got a lot of different things that are going. The offensive line's intact, and that's a big offensive line. I mean, but Dallas on paper every single year looks amazing. Now you just brought in a different coach that says we're amazing. But the Eagles are still the favorite.
That's going to get that team over the hump. I just don't see him doing it. I really don't. I don't think Dak Prescott is the answer in Dallas. I really don't. And then, who's their running back? Oh, come on. His name went out of my head. I can't remember a name to save my life. I've been terrible with names my whole life. Oh,
Zeke. Elliott.
Yeah, he's got all kinds of head problems. His head's not in the game.
Dude,
you know,
he reminds me of, what was the guy, Ricky?
Ricky with of Miami. Yes, and no, he was great, but yeah, he was a huge. I mean, just huge. But he wanted to quit because he wanted to smoke pot. He thought smoking pot was more important than playing football. So he said, you're not going to let me smoke pot. Well, then I quit football. And my God, that guy was an incredible running back. I mean, and you know, those guys that are that big, is once they get into full speed, you can't tackle them. You can't get your arms around them, number one, because they're so wide.
Well, that's why I think when you're a kid, no matter what,
them.
You loved watching the Houston Oilers with
yeah.
Earl Campbell.
Yep.
Earl Campbell would
do.
Come through there, and you'd be like, how are you supposed to stop that?
Well, so, when I was a kid, I had to write, you know, three of my, you know, people that inspired me. Well, Larry Zonka was one of them. And see, if you understand the story of Larry Zonka, he never really played high school football. Then he gets to college, and he's so big, and he wanted to be a running back. And they said, no, you're too big. You can't play running back. You're too big. You need to be a lineman. He said, no, I want to be a running back. Larry Zonka was one of the first of the big running backs, and obviously it worked, you know, but he was one of those, you know, the first ones to be that big. They always wanted the running backs to be the, you know, the skinny runners, you know, that could take the ball and run real fast. Well, you know, running back position now is you've got to run up the middle. Well, if you're a skinny little runt and you're going to run up the middle with monsters, I mean, you're not going to last very long at all. You need to be big to go through the freaking line. And, you know, Emmett Smith. I mean, Emmett Smith was a brick. I mean, just a tree trunk. And once Emmett Smith got going in full speed, you couldn't tackle the guy. You just couldn't
tackle
him.
Well, and the nice thing about Emmett Smith is he really was a true north-south runner. So,
yes,
like,
right.
Literally, when he got that ball, he got you positive yards.
Well, if they opened up the
statistics
Dallas
of negative yards and neutral yards,
well,
and
if that Dallas
run, dude, it's going to be minimal.
I know when that Dallas offense, they were famous for opening up that Dallas up a hole, and Smith had the ball. Say goodnight, Gracie. You know, turn out the lights. This party is over. You're not getting him. You know, good luck. And that's really what, you know, Emmett Smith was. You know, I mean, Dallas had a great team. That was a really good team. They had a really good run for, you know, those 5 years, you know. And, hey, look, they got three Super Bowls out of it.
Well, no, and then, you know, I can't say this is verified or whatever, but I can say that I thought I remembered years later, like, Troy Aikman always said, like, he played a lot of these games, like, I don't want to say effed up, but
concussed. He was concussed.
Yeah, concussed, right? Just he's still playing them. They're major game. They're everybody in the world is kind of watching these moments, and you don't kind of know where you're at. You're a quarterback, so you always know how to throw. You know what I mean? Like
mm-hmm.
You're so conditioned that you know you can always throw it. And the bad thing is, you know you can still do it even if you're concussed. Because you've done it that many times. That Troy Aikman is really, like, probably the prototype of why you have to look at some of these things and say, this stuff should have changed a long time ago. And Troy played a long time ago. Troy's not current at all.
No, I mean, I like Troy. And, you know, it's sad, but eventually those concussions are going to catch up to him. You know, look what happened with Muhammad Ali. He got Parkinson's from getting hit so many times and
yeah, but
you don't
remember when he was younger and he'd be like, he would just let him hit him? You know,
he didn't
mean?
Have a choice. I mean, his first season,
no,
I think Dallas
he just did
won,
that.
One
just
game.
To let him know, like, he is still going to kick their butts, but he took those hits. He flashboated a little too much, you know.
Well, he Troy Aikman did take some hits.
That was his style.
Players today are completely different. Even though they're stronger and faster, but they're almost weaker in a certain way because they're faster and they've got more muscles, but are they stronger? You know, strength is you can look at strength in two different ways. Yeah, you can lift, bench press 600 pounds. Oh, okay, well, you're strong. Really? But then you get hit once and, your whole body breaks down. So are you really that strong?
Oh, no. Even when I got a little bit into weightlifting after farming all day, was I noticed a lot of guys concentrated on the top. And I'm like, you don't think your legs have muscles and to deal with whatever? And so even when you saw a top heavy person in sport, you were like, oh, wow. You are going to completely decimate them in a different area that they can't even imagine. They don't even realize how they develop their own bodies towards whatever sport you're playing. It's really not efficient, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, so, I mean, I don't know. I just want to see, sports. I don't care about anything else. I just want to see some football. But it doesn't look like we're going to get much football this year. And baseball, I mean, I find it weak. I mean, if NASCAR could put fans in the stands, so can you, baseball. Come on. Well, the Cincinnati Reds, I guess, are going to be the first team, and they're starting here pretty soon. They're going to be the first team to put actual fans back in the stands. And I think they ought to open it up. And look, if you're worried about, getting the Hong Kong flu, then stay at home and watch it on TV. But if you're not afraid of it, come out of the ballpark. Leave it up to the people to decide. And again, if you get this cockamamie virus, okay, you got a 99.8% chance of surviving. I'll take that risk. It's not like I've never been sick before. If I get sick, I get sick. And if I die, well, that's my time. You got to live, man. We got to live. Trapped in your house and not allowed to do anything is not living, man. That ain't living. Take a risk. Who cares? Live, man. We got to live.
I hear you.
We're all going to die. Well, yeah, we are. Everybody's going to die. Nobody's going to live forever. I mean, it sucks because I want to live forever. But, I've come to the realization that ain't going to happen. All the legislation in the world, all the boycotts, all the, the protests, it's not going to change nothing. Grim Reaper knocks you on the shoulder and says, I got your number right here. Follow me. What are you going to do? Say, no, give me a couple more days.
Well, actually, I would
tell
them,
all right.
Accept my mail-in ballot.
Please don't let me vote Democrat. But, I mean,
it's got a D121 in your code. Just let it know.
But, I mean, come on, man. I mean, we got to open up the world, man. Let's live. Let's bring back sports. And sports... You know, if it wasn't for sports, I mean, sports has got us through several wars. It got us through World War One. After World War One was over with, you had baseball. You know, World War Two, we had baseball when it was over. Vietnam, I mean, everything. Sports has always been there, no matter. And look at the '68 Tigers. They had the Detroit. That city was completely destroyed, and then Detroit, the Tigers come back and they win the World Series, and that town just got united. They, you know, just a few
weren't
months
we
before,
down
0-3?
Weren't we down 0-3? It was bad.
I don't know what it was, but they were completely, the whole city was divided and filled with hate. And then the Tigers come back, and what did? They united that city, and everybody loved everybody. That's what sports do. If this is a time to have sports, right now, 2020 is the time to have sports with people in the stands. This is the time. We need sports, all of them.
And if you really look, even at the beginning of the introduction, I would say NASCAR did everybody a big favor and didn't have fans out there at first. It was the first sports stuff that I can remember that happened during this time period. And didn't even do free trials. You know what I mean? Like, it was straight up, you're on the track. It is like, well, normally we don't do this. And then a lot of times when you do the pre-trials or whatever, you figure out the track a little bit. And then these guys, because their vehicles, each one, when you see them on a real major NASCAR, those are $250,000 cars. They really are. And they're worth every penny. But they can slightly adjust them to this one little tiny degree that you don't know about that can make that car run smooth or whatever. So we at least saw all this, and they did that. And I was like, thank you, NASCAR, for starting. You know what I mean? Somebody had to do it somewhere.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, we need more to follow. And we, you know what we need? We need people just to be, say, you know what? Screw it. We're going to open up. Screw your mask. Here's your mask. I'm not wearing no stinking mask. I'm going to live. And we just need to open up and live. We just need to live. And if you're afraid, well, then stay at home. Nobody's got a gun to your head and is going to force you to go to the ballpark. Nobody's going to force you to go to the stadium. Nobody's going to force you to go to the basketball court. Nobody's going to force you to go out if you don't want to. But if you do want to, then go, man. But I'm worried that somebody's going to sue somebody. Stop with the suing, everybody. Play, man. Just play sports. Let's just open up and play. That's all I want. That's what I'm asking for Christmas. I just want sports back.
All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth.
Yeah. I just want sports, no, man.
It is what it is, man.
I know, it is what it is, but eventually it's going to come back, and what it does, you know, it's going to be very, once it starts getting into full swing, but, you know, again, sports is very, very, because people can go to the ballpark and they can watch something and forget about all the crap. That's why they watch sports. They don't want to go there to watch your politics. I know you athletes all think that you can you throw? Can you run? You know, that's what we care about. Can you score? Can you block? Can you kick? What can you do? That's what we care about. We care about our team winning. We don't care about the politics. Has nothing to do with sports, and it never should. Never, ever, 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 ever. The two are completely different. People go to the stadiums and the ballparks, and they tune in on their televisions to escape their lives, their happy lives, their job. They want to escape. They want to escape everything. Well, I need to escape too, because I'm going out of my freaking mind. I'm losing my damn mind. I need to blast off. I can't, Scotty, beam me out of this world. Dude, you know what I mean? Beam me up, man. But, we'll find out. We'll find out. Now, is football, they've got to be, close to going into, their camps. We got to be close to getting some preseason games. Are there any preseason games scheduled yet? You go on ESPN, there's very little news. I tried finding some stuff.
Well,
today, I can't.
As far as I can gather, I don't think there is a preseason. I think this is just going to be. This is going to happen. We're going to do it.
Well, that is going to be terrible. Week one is going to be, injury after injury after injury. That's dangerous, man.
Well, how about the people that don't make the cuts on the team? You know what I mean?
Well, if you're just going
to... You really are not going to know what your team really... No, and I can tell you personally that there was a guy on the basketball team that, man, he could make anything. He looked like Michael Jordan back in the day. And then you played a real-life game. He was lucky to have 2 points to his name. And you're like, what the heck happened? Practice, they look great. Real life situation, not so much. Just happened. And those are your best players. So I just don't know how they're going to even plan to do something with no preseason. And then make their cut and then be like, whoa, that dude can't do any of that. But
look, I'm looking at this, and let's just see. They've got nothing for preseason. You're right. Cancel. Let's see what week two is. Let's see what week four. You can't cancel preseason football. It's all canceled. You can't do that. You can't expect these guys to not have a preseason. Go. Oh my God, they're not. That is. Oh my God, the injuries are gonna be starts.
Oh, that's what I was already saying. Like, today there was about 10 preseason injuries that some of these guys, it's not going to happen, whatever. But there was one guy from the Cowboys that his injury, they were like, see ya. So, you're just going to see this more and more every day, really. You're not going to be used to real life.
That just makes, look, there's got to be somebody in the NFL. The players, for my God, the players have got to be saying, no, this is wrong. Coaches, they've got to be going, whoa, 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 wait a minute. The trainers have got to be, wait a minute. The owners, somebody in the NFL has got to say, wait a minute, wrong. Whoa, stop. This is wrong. We cannot just all of a sudden have a season. I'm not saying I'm Mr. Joe Football and I know everything, because I don't, but my God in heaven, man, I've got common sense and logic, and I know this is dangerous. This is not, this is stupid. I mean, this is going to be much
really
more dangerous than your Hong Kong flu.
Yeah, but you're really talking about some of the biggest gladiators out there. In our professional sports world, that linebackers in particular are so big and they run 4-somethings. That if you're not really like adjusted to the game, or you're not really in conditioning, in the first game they can crunch you, they're going to. I mean, I would do
well,
it, too.
Well, I'm worried about, well, you know, I mean, like I've been preaching on here forever, you know, these players and the coaches, oh, we can't have 4 preseason games, but we see every week 1 and every week 2, we got injury after injury because these guys aren't playing. And they're not conditioning themselves to get to full speed. And now you're just all of a sudden going to play full-speed football? Oh, my God, we're going to have – everybody's going to be injured. Hamstrings.
And there's going to be certain guys that will be conditioned to play game speed day 1. So we'll be like,
well, there might
no
be some,
problem.
But I mean,
and
overall,
I guarantee it,
they
it'll
not
probably
be
like linebackers, man. Linebackers are a different breed.
Well, those are different animals.
You can look at Mike Singletary's. You can look
yeah,
at
but, I mean,
Lawrence Taylor.
Linebackers get hurt a lot. That's what Gronk is always injured. Look what Gronk has to do. As soon as he touches the ball, guess what happens? Boom. He's got somebody coming at him at, you know, 180,000 miles an hour, you know, a freaking locomotive running him over. And I know he's big and I know he's tough, but, I mean, you can only get hit by a train so many times. And after a while, you know, your body says, hey, you know, wait a minute. You know, I'm broke. So, I mean, what these tight ends have to do, I mean, they're lucky to last 5 years in the NFL. I mean, that is a dangerous and linebackers too, because I mean they got to do a lot. Of course they are. But I mean, look, we're going to see a lot of players, especially. I mean, you know, your receivers, you know, running and hamstrings are going to be, you know, popping left and right. I mean, we're going to see broken bones, collarbones. To cancel the preseason, that's just dumb. Now, baseball, a little bit different story, okay? Baseball's a little bit different. Yeah,
well, yeah,
okay.
Way different.
Wait, I mean, yeah, if you want
to. No, but
to
look at what happened to St. Louis. Okay. Look at what happened to St. Louis. Now, how do we figure this all out?
But, I mean, even in baseball, running to first, and he blows his hamstring. Well, why? Well, he wasn't, you know, conditioned. So I'm not saying baseball can just go out there and not have any preseason games and think that they can just go out there and play. No, 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 no. It's not what I'm saying. I mean, it's a little bit different. I mean, you could almost understand it with baseball, but football, no, wait, no, no, no. It's too, oh, God. I mean, well, I mean, I can't change the rules. I can't fix it. I can just bitch about it. It's the only thing I can do. But we're going to see a lot of injuries. And then nobody's going to be in the stands.
I'm just waiting for an NFL team to have one confirmed case. And now what do?
See, anybody can get it, but I mean, are you hospitalized and are you dying? No, you're not. You know, you're not. So people aren't falling over. I mean, look at all the people that got to work in the supermarket. If it was so bad,
everybody would have been all right if it was one, but it was 13. Well, now.
They got people testing positive that never even took a test. They just signed to take the test, and they're test positive. So just because you test positive doesn't mean you have it. Doesn't mean you're at home dying and sick and puking and or doing whatever this disease gives you. So they're fine. Just, you know, okay. But not sick. So there's really, you know, people got to, we just got to open up. Let's play, man. Let's stop worrying. Everybody just, you know, we got to live, man. I'm just saying, we got to live. Open up, stop, and let's live.
Mm-hmm.
Live and live, man. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do? But
you know,
I accidentally pushed the wrong button tonight. Instead of going 2 hours, I went an hour and a half. I went 90 minutes rather than 120 minutes. So we've got 2 minutes left. So, well, the reason why is because I've been going 90 minutes because Blog Talk was having problems and I didn't want to go the full 2 hours and then not have a show. So I've been so used to just pushing 90 minutes and I didn't realize it until I started and I went, well, I can't change it now. So I apologize because I was just so, you know, my daytime show, I just do 90. So I screwed up. So that's my fault. My bad.
No, that's totally fine, man. And an hour and a half right now is never a bad thing anyway. You know, at least we're doing the show, dude.
Hey, we did a show, and, you know, here's the thing. I had to sign up on here real quick because I was – it was Thursday. And here it is. I go off, and, my sprinkler in the backyard goes off at 7. So I'm thinking, oh, okay, you know, 7 o'clock, blah, 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 blah. And then I looked at the clock, it said 7:32, and I went, and then I looked at the, oh my God, today's Friday! I went, ah! And I scrambled and just, I didn't write any kind of description or anything, and I just scrambled and got on the air, and I got on the air, not even 5 minutes, and then it came on. So anyway, they're going to cut us off here in about 30 seconds. I want to thank you, Seth. For coming on tonight.
It was a great show. It was a good show.
We had NFL football podcast. Was listening in for a little while, so I want to thank him for listening. And I do want to thank everybody who does listen in to archives. So, again, here every Friday night. Thanks again and my show. And Tuesdays and Thursdays. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you back here Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Goodbye, everybody.